It's a bit overcast here in Budapest, and I'll be going from now until middle of next week to Turkey, specifically to Istanbul, Gor Shakti Prabhu, and other devotees from Hungary and his wife are there. They've been preaching there for some years now, and being officially the GBC, I've scheduled a brief visit over there just to meet the devotees and actually assess what it is that we're doing over there by way of Krishna consciousness. We've already been working on translating and publishing new books, as well as in a very low-key way giving the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Krishna consciousness to interested people. For those of you that don't know, Hungary and Turkey have a very intertwined history, in that Hungary was occupied by the Turks for 150 years. And even at present, there are many relics of that Turkish occupation here. When I was young, my parents, grandparents used to always read to me about, at that time, one of my favorite books, which was called Egri Csillagok, or the Stars of Eger, over Eger, and it speaks about the Turkish invasion of the town of Eger, in which a few hundred Hungarians, men, women, soldiers, stood off the entire Turkish army for a prolonged siege, until finally, having nothing, no other recourse, they all came out and fought to the death. That means the Hungarians' death. They were sorely outnumbered, 1,000 to 1. Anyway, since then, relationships have much improved between the two countries, although it's still a Muslim country. And, of course, there's always an ongoing controversy going on about whether Turkey should be allowed into the European Union. They're making all kinds of arrangements and reforms to conform to European entry requirements. But still, both the Catholic Church, many conservative politicians are very much against the idea of this influx of, I think, 60 million Muslims into a predominantly a Christian Europe. And if you know your geography, then Istanbul is right on the juncture of Europe and Asia. On the northern part of Istanbul is in Europe, the other side is in Asia. And historically and geographically, Turkey is always considered at least part of it as part of Europe. But now this big hoo-ha is going on. Anyway, so much for European politics. I don't know how easy it will be to send podcasts over there, but I will, and I'll try to keep everyone informed of what's going on, while also answering some questions. And here, let me find one and answer one before I finish packing and go to the airport. Here's a question from Singapore, from a Bhakti Suraj Chand. I'm a useless servant doing a bit of seva in Krishna.com under Live Help online preaching. I'm chanting 16 rounds and I'm 19 years old. We do not have an ISKCON here. but we do have a congregation. My question is, how does one accept initiation from a spiritual master? It seems that if there is a congregation there, Suraj, that there is ISKCON there, you're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, you must be chanting Hare Krishna under the authority of devotees. Visiting devotees come there on a regular basis, and Singapore is certainly a part of one of our GBC's areas of responsibility, and all of that means that technically speaking that congregation is also part of ISKCON. So how does anyone accept a spiritual master? They do so by contact with their local leadership authority, getting recommendation from the leaders of the congregation, who are obviously coming together and having regular meetings. And those spiritual masters who one hears from on a regular basis, of them, someone will develop extraordinary faith in that person. And if that faith, which will be based on hearing, if that faith matures into a mutual relationship, then the local leadership and management can recommend you for official acceptance as that spiritual master's disciple. And if that relationship matures, then that maturing will be indicated by being offered initiation. Therefore, to go back to your question, my question is, how does one accept initiation from a spiritual master? The steps are, is that first one has a relationship with the local devotees and the managing authority. Then one accepts a spiritual master and is accepted by a spiritual master. And the third step is that once that acceptance bears fruit, then one accepts initiation. That is one of the fruit of that relationship. So your question should be not how does one accept initiation, but how does one accept a spiritual master? Saying how does one accept initiation is like asking how do I have children when you don't even have a wife. So first you start off with getting married, and when you get married, then you naturally have children. Similarly, first one starts by accepting a spiritual master, and then one will naturally take initiation. Therefore, it's very important not to be excessively eager for initiation, but we should recognize the responsibility that disciples have for knowing their own qualifications in Krishna consciousness and for knowing the qualifications of a spiritual master, and to judge them very carefully. Because we have examples where spiritual masters give up their vows of Krishna consciousness and disciples give up their vows of Krishna consciousness, where spiritual masters leave ISKCON, as do disciples. Therefore, although the initial enthusiasm and emotion to find a guru, get initiated, is very good and praiseworthy, but still it should be something that's very solid, that's based on a real understanding of not only scripture and the principles that are behind these practices, but the practicalities that we encounter with this guru-disciple relationship in modern-day world. We don't just really want to get initiated, we want to stay initiated, and we want to stay initiated throughout our lifetime and advance in Krishna consciousness by proper connection with the Guru Parampara and the gurus who help us on our path back home, back to Godhead. Anyway, all the best and good luck to Suraj in his quest, and more again tomorrow. Hopefully we'll be able to communicate easily from Turkey. Hare Krishna to everyone.